Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. You know, in three decades of Christian ministry, I've noted the same cycle occur over and over again, namely a quest for God in all the wrong places. And therefore, when Rhonda Byrne informed the world that she had discovered the secret to life, even the Christian community took notice. For Byrne, the secret, of course, was the law of attraction, and thoughts are the primary source through which you can attract whatever you want. In fact, in the book To Transform Herself from Fat to Thin, she talks about thinking thin thoughts and not so much as looking at fat people. And as a result, she says, I now maintain my perfect weight of 116 pounds and can eat whatever I want. Well, for Joel Osteen, another cultural phenomenon, the secret is word of faith. As such, he propagates the notion that faith is a force, that words are the containers of the force, and that through the force of faith, one can create their own realities. And some of you might even recall the prayer of Jabez. The secret in that book was very simple. Pray that particular prayer once a day for 30 days, and then in multi-level marketing fashion, just tell another person about your new prayer habit, and the astounding success of the author would be realized in your own life. These examples of fast food Christianity, of course, have a couple of things in common. They're decidedly unbiblical, and they overpromise and underperform. My point is quite simply this. When the next faddish formula emerges within the Christian marketplace, as it most surely will, don't fall for it. Ever remember that the secret is never a fad. It's a matter of returning to fundamentals. And that is precisely why I wrote Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. It is available all this month for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can access your copy for your gift on the web at equip.org. Or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up, Matthew in Columbia, South Carolina, listening on WCRU. Hi, Matthew.
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. I'm curious about your thoughts on science fiction, Christian science fiction, and Christian fantasy, such as C.S. Lewis. Particularly, like what is good to look for, what would be considered appropriate versus inappropriate themes, and so forth.
We actually did an article on this in the Christian Research Journal. I think it's up on the web at equip.org, so you can check that out. But in general, think about the fact that fantasy imagery is a very useful tool. It's a tool that's used not only by people like Tolkien and Lewis and many others like Puritan writer William Gurnall, but it's also a tool used by the biblical writers. And the reason that they use fantasy imagery is that though the images are unreal, they provide us with a realistic means by which to ponder reality. So if you look at the book of Revelation, you see an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, or locusts with human faces, or a beast that resembles a leopard. It has feet like a bear and a mouth like a lion. Not only that, but you have Satan depicted as an ancient dragon. Now, again, these are all ways not of telling us what Satan looks like, but rather a way for us to grasp what Satan is like. So again, the fantasy imagery is a very useful means by which we can ponder realities in the world that we experience.
Gotcha. Any advice for a hopeful would-be author in these realms, in these areas?
Well, the authors that I've talked about, Tolkien, Lewis, I love William Gurnall. He used the otherworldly image of a man's head on a beast's shoulders, and I've always remembered that as a way of highlighting the reality that righteousness without truth is abhorrent. And the way he put it is an orthodox judgment that comes from an unholy heart and an ungodly life is, well, as ugly as a man's head would be on a beast's shoulders. The wretch that knows the truth but practices evil, he said, was worse than the man who is ignorant. And therefore, he used an imaginary troll to portray an invisible truth. And that's the point of fantasy imagery.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, sir.
You got it. Again, the article in the Christian Research Journal makes a contrast between good fantasy imagery and bad fantasy writings, and it gives us tools for evaluating which is which. Again, you can find that on the web, equip.org. Jamie next, El Paso, Texas, listening on KLP. Hi, Jamie.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Listen, I asked God to help me lose weight, and on the first workout, he revealed to me that if I did this thing and I went all the way through, that I would have a very special blessing at the end of it. But the problem is that I face nothing but trials and tribulations. Now, I know that Satan can't attack me in my face, so he attacks me where he can, is in my body. And I've managed to lose 450 pounds. I've exercised, and I did it the hard way. God told me to do it the hard way. And I asked him, why do you want me to do it the hard way? And God told me, he says, if you do this the hard way, Jamie, you'll never be fat again. And he was right. I mean, everything God told me, but these trials that he's giving me, like this last one is really, really bad, and I need some help to understand why I'm going through all of this.
Yeah, well, first of all, let me commend you, because what you have done is extraordinary. I can't even imagine what it would take to have the kind of discipline and willpower to accomplish what you have accomplished. So congratulations on that. I think that is, as I said, extraordinary. But Jamie, as to the question why, the Bible actually never answers the why question. Or perhaps I should say, seldom answers the why question. What it does instead is it teaches us to trust God in the midst of our whys. And we learn that lesson in the book of Job, because there Job suffered not only more than most human beings, but more than the cumulative sufferings of human beings that we know. I mean, you add them all up together, and they don't amount to what he went through. And yet, God explains his big mistake in the book of Job as being why. Job asked that question, and then God thunders back through the storm and says, you don't even know how I create a tiny drop of dew. How can you understand what's going on in the heavenlies? And Job actually concedes and recognizes, yes, and he comes undone, as it were. He realizes the utter majesty of God. And in the end, he has the great exclamation of faith. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And he looks forward to the fact that though his flesh will be destroyed, in the end he would see God face to face. So in what is reputedly the oldest book in the Bible, you have a sense of, in this world, we're going to have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So I would do you a great disservice if I were to say to you, you know, Jamie, the Bible gives us a peaceful way to come to terms with your suffering, with your trials, with your temptations, with your tribulations, because it doesn't. What it does ultimately is tell you to trust in God, who has given us enough reason to trust in Him, and to look forward to the hope of glory, and to know that even in the darkest tribulations, for those who love God and are looking forward to His kingdom, He carries us like a lamb. He holds us. He cares for every detail. He cares even for so little a detail as a hair falling from your head. And so you can trust Him. Trust Him. And know that in the end, when He returns, you will be resurrected in absolute perfect fashion. That's the hope of Christianity.
Well, I'm hoping that I will. When God comes to get me, when Jesus comes to get me, I want Him to find me being faithful and trusting in Him. And I do, no matter what. Everything that I've been through, I kept going and kept going because I knew that that's what God wanted me to do.
Well, that's a beautiful statement on your part. It's an exhortation to all of us to do as you have done. This is what we are called to do. Believe in Jesus Christ and become a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, a friend of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what every Christian ultimately has done. They've said, you know what? I don't want to do it the world's way. I don't want to listen to the wisdom of the world, the counsel of the ungodly, but rather I want to follow Jesus Christ, whatever He says I want to do. So I appreciate very much not only your question, but your testimony, which was implicit in the question. Thanks for calling, Jamie. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Todd in Raytown, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Todd.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
It's good to meet you. I had a question. I've been doing some reading and research about eunuchs, and I've got a few schools of thought about it, and I'm not quite sure. As far as the homosexual interpretations that some have tried.
Whoops. Somehow or other, Todd just disappeared. Todd, if I can get back to you, I will call back if you're listening to my voice right now. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Josh. He's listening in New York, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Josh.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
My question for you is, actually, first I want to say thank you for your show. It gives a lot of clarity to, you know, a lot of questions people ask me. My question is, what is your view on Calvinism versus traditional Christianity?
Well, I mean, Calvinism is certainly considered part of Orthodox Christianity within the pale of Orthodoxy, as it were, or within the bounds of Orthodoxy. There are differences in terms of how a Calvinist and a non-Calvinist would read the Scriptures at certain points, but in essentials, there's always unity.
Yeah, I mean, well, because I have a family member who had joined the church, and they believe in, or they say they partially believe in Calvinism. But some of the things that I've seen is, I know that one of their, part of their acronym is the TULIP acronym, says that since you're predestinated, that God already chose you, and that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not to everyone, so that not everyone is necessarily entitled to be saved. So when I see that, it kind of makes me think that, you know, how is that a good message to put out there, a good belief system, when you have a lot of scriptures that say, like, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever. So the word world and whosoever puts it out there for, you know, no matter who you are, you know, that it's available to everyone.
Well, right. And that is the discussion, that is the debate, and we actually carried on that debate in the Christian Research Journal. You can find those copies available on the web at equip.org. But yeah, there's no question about it. Calvin said that God not only foresaw the fall of the first man and in him the ruin of his posterity, but also at his own pleasure arranged it. Of course, you can read passages that seem to contradict that as I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they might turn from their evil ways. And of course, as Calvin went on to say, God arranges all things by his sovereign counsel in such a way that individuals are born who are doomed from the womb to certain death. So God not only took pleasure in the death of the wicked, as Calvin says, but actually arranged things in such a way that people are doomed from the womb to certain destruction. And that is the debate, in essence, between Calvinists and non-Calvinists. And as I said, that debate is carried on in a collegial fashion in the Christian Research Journal, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. The way you can get a copy is to hang on or to just access your copy online at equip.org. For those listening into the broadcast, do remember you can also access us on the web at equip.org and via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or via our resource consultants who are standing by via the phone, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. I'll be right back in just a few moments with more.
Life is a series of one challenge after another. And when things begin to fall apart, we're often tempted to look for solutions in all the wrong places. That's why this month Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a special resource to help you draw closer to our Creator. It's called Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. And this book is our thank you to you for your donation to the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man. So go to equip.org right now with your gift. That's equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. People are looking for love in all the wrong places. But to find real love and amazing intimacy, we don't have to look any further than our Creator, the one who wants to know you and loves you enough to give his life for you. This month, Hank Hanegraaff wants to help you grow into a deeper love with the one who made you by sending you his newest book called Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. It's his way of saying thank you for your gift in support of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a gift that helps reach others who are desperate to know true intimacy with God. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God when you call 888-7000-CRI with your gift. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Hank Hanegraaff stumbled upon a secret when it comes to his beloved game of golf. When things go wrong with his game, it's not because he's failing to follow some faddish formula. It's because he's compromised a basic fundamental. Getting back to basics applies not only to the game of golf, but also to the art of Christian living. And that's why Hank wants to put his newest book, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, into your hands. He wants to help you know our Creator's deep love for you in Christ, and he wants to send you a copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God as thanks for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. Go online to equip.org and request your copy. That's equip.org. Not only do fast food Christianity books make unbiblical promises, they ultimately promise what they cannot deliver. That's where Hank Hanegraaff's Secrets to Real Intimacy with God stands apart. Instead of an instant formula, Hank's new book helps you grow in intimacy with the lover of your soul. Hank wants to send you a copy of his special resource as thanks for your gift when you support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please request your copy when you call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Todd. He is listening in Raytown, Missouri. I think we had you on earlier and then lost you. Are you back?
Yes, sir. Thank God.
Well, good to have you back.
All right. I've been researching information about eunuchs, and I've come across a school of thought suggesting that eunuchs were actually men with homosexual tendencies that Jesus said were born that way. And it, from what I understand about Scripture is that you have to read before and after to understand the Scripture in which you're reading at hand. And I always thought that Scripture was about marriage and divorce. I never got a connotation as far as homosexuality, but given the information and investigations, I've been perplexed because I don't know the information. I'm not homophobic. I treat people like God treats us, and I love everyone. I don't have any hidden fears or anything, but I would like to have an answer because I do have people around me who are like that, and I want to do my best to minister at any point in time. And so I'm calling in today, and I guess I'm asking you, is there any way that one could interpret eunuchs being homosexual from the Matthew 19, I believe, 12th chapter, verse 12 or 21, I'm not too sure. But I know it's Matthew 19, and I'm just trying to get some answers. How do we go from what Jesus was talking about to the whole homosexual interpretation of eunuchs?
Yeah, well, I think you've actually given the answer in the prologue to the question, because you're absolutely correct in saying that we should consider the context. And the context is Jesus saying, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another woman commits adultery. And then the disciples say to Jesus, is this the situation between a husband and wife? And if that's the case, is it better not to marry? And then Jesus is responding to that by saying, not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For some are eunuchs, because they were born that way. Others were made that way by men, and others have renounced marriage because of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it. So the context is exactly, precisely as you say, a context having to do with marriage, and certainly homosexuality is not part of what the meaning is here. In fact, Isaiah 56 and Acts 8 in the broader panoply of Scripture show that eunuchs were those physically castrated against their will, made this way, as Jesus put it, by men. And therefore, the statement of our Lord about eunuchs in Matthew 19 presupposes that they're not having sexual relationships at all, much less sexual relationships which are forbidden in the Word of God itself. So I think you're right, first of all, to point to context. Secondly, I think the real issue here is not about being homophobic. It is a misapplication of Scripture, and perhaps we could say a Christophobic kind of phenomenon that is in vogue today, where one dare not quote the words of Jesus Christ or the overall words of Scripture inspired by God, which means inspired by Jesus Christ as well, because Jesus Christ is God. One dare not quote the words of Scripture for fear that one is considered backward in a politically correct society. So I think the real problem is not homophobia, but Christophobia. We live in a Christophobic culture today.
It's funny you say that, because I've echoed some of the same sentiments, and I've actually received some very, well, let's just say some very ungodly responses because of the fact that I try to stick to every word of the Lord, for a man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word of the Lord. And so it's funny you say that. But
and people come up with all kinds of arguments, in other words, arguments that overthrow the authority of Scripture, but the arguments are very, very thin indeed. And I think we should always be ready to give a response and do that with gentleness and with respect. You can't take on the same texture as the culture. I was reading a number of articles in the newspaper today, 10 in all, actually. I counted them, and they all had a particular theme, and that is if you think in some way or fashion that same-sex marriage has some problems associated with it, then you're like a knuckle-dragging ape. You haven't quite evolved yet to a human being.
All right. Well, that definitely gives me a great answer, and I really appreciate it. It's helped to kind of confirm to me that what I believe and what I'm thinking is right in accord with not only people like you who have given their life to teaching the word, but to what God has already put into my heart, that inclination that God has put into my heart in what and to how to believe. So
yeah.
I truly thank you for helping me to clear things up, and I will stay steadfast in the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you so much for your call. And I think the real issue for all of us who follow Jesus Christ is that very thing. Because we follow Jesus Christ, we are saying he is the wisest person who ever walked the face of this earth, because he was indeed Theanthropus, the God-man. And so we have made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. And that means that we follow what Jesus Christ taught and did, faith and practice. We want to do it his way. So a lot of people say, well, do you believe that a homosexual is going to go to hell? Well, that's just the wrong question. The real question is, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? And if indeed you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then you are going to live in the way that Christ teaches you to live, because you believe that he knows what's best for you. After all, he created you. And so the scriptures, which are ordained by God, make it very clear that even Gentiles without access to direct revelation have enough evidence in the natural realm to discover God's aversion to practices outside the bounds that he carefully sets forth for us so that our joy might be complete. So this is not at all about discrimination. It's about allowing people to fully access everything that God has for them. And obviously, if you're not a follower of Christ, you're going to do it your own way. And so rather than being judgmental about this, what we do is we demonstrate the very love of Christ, who reached to us in our sinful state, and recognize that though we are in Christ, we as yet too are sinners. And so we never look down at anybody else, no matter what their perversion are, because we know all too well the perversions of our own heart. So again, in modeling the behavior of our Lord towards all who are lost, we speak the truth and we speak it in love. And we recapture Christ's love for all the lost, all the sick of society, including those who are engaged in perverse practices, whether it has to do with homosexuality or heterosexual practices that are perverse and denounced in Scripture. And that means visiting the homes of those with whom we differ, eating with them, speaking, acting out in love, not in hate. If they use hateful words towards you, call you a knuckle-dragging ape, you don't respond in kind. And you communicate the good news about God's rule and about the kingdom of God, which has been inaugurated and one day will be consummated. So all of this is done in such a way that we don't establish a we-they siege mentality against the world. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jim in El Paso, Texas. He's listening on KELP. Hi, Jim.
Hi. As I read the Bible, I notice that, you know, slavery is wrong, abortion's wrong, polygamy's wrong, but God never condemns it outright in any part of the Bible, as far as I can tell. Could you help me on that?
Well, you know, simply false. You mentioned slavery. I mean, this is something that is overtly condemned in the Scripture. In fact, it was the application of biblical principles that ultimately led to the overflow of slavery. The Bible starts by teaching us that all human beings are created in the image of God. In fact, Israel's emancipation itself, when they were emancipated from slavery in Egypt, became the model for the liberation of slaves in general. And of course, Paul said in Christ, there's neither slave nor free, that ultimately we are one in Christ. And in Revelation, you have God pronouncing final judgment on the evil systems of the world that perpetuate slavery. If you want something really direct, go to 1 Timothy 1, where slave traders are actually put in the category of murderers, adulterers, perverts, and liars. And of course, in the Old Testament, Joseph, when he was sold into slavery, it was considered to be a horrendous evil. So the Bible simply communicates what's going on in the culture, but never endorses slavery.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You got it. And I have written about that in various places, including in my book, Has God Spoken? And one of the reasons I did that is because there are a lot of people today saying, well, you know, you can't trust the Bible. You can't trust what it says with respect to same-sex marriage or homosexuality or adultery or whatever. The reason is because the Bible also promoted slavery. Now, this is a point made by Barack Obama himself. He also made the point that the Bible encourages parents to stone their children if they have strayed away from the faith. The Bible denounces eating shellfish as an abomination and so forth. But he is simply wrong when he says that on all of those points, and I make that very explicitly clear in my book, Has God Spoken, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And part of the reason I do that is not only to demonstrate that the Bible is indeed divine as opposed to merely human in origin, but also to demonstrate that while we believe that the Bible is everything necessary for faith and practice, we must answer an attendant question, and that is, what has God said in the Bible? And that entails learning to read the Bible for all it's worth, or as I like to say, mine it for all of its wealth. Has God Spoken? It is a book, again, demonstrating why we can accept the Bible as a reliable authority in a culture that says the Bible is outdated, it's misfit to the culture that the culture knows better. Yeah, nothing could be farther from the truth. And the arguments that are used, while they might sound very good at the face of it, they are very, very weak indeed. And we should be able to, with gentleness and utmost respect, to be able to take the deviations that people use with respect to Christianity, Christ, and the Scriptures, as an opportunity for sharing the grace and truth and love that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. You know, we have a lot of daily e-truths that explicate all these kinds of things in simple language, short videos, written text. You can get them delivered to your inbox by simply going to equip.org/e-truth. We'll be right back.
People are looking for love in all the wrong places. But to find amazing love, we should look no further than our Creator. Hank Hanegraaff wants to help you grow in your love with the One who made you by sending you Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. It's his gift to thank you for your donation to the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your copy of this important new book when you go to equip.org with your gift today. That's equip.org. Stay with us. There's more from Hank Hanegraaff coming up next.
Hank Hanegraaff stumbled upon a secret when it comes to his beloved game of golf. When things go wrong with his game, it's not because he's failing to follow some faddish formula. It's because he's compromised a basic fundamental. Getting back to basics applies not only to the game of golf, but also to the art of Christian living. And that's why Hank wants to put his newest book, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, into your hands. He wants to help you know our Creator's deep love for you in Christ. And he wants to send you a copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God as thanks for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. Go online to equip.org and request your copy. That's equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. People are looking for love in all the wrong places. But to find real love and amazing intimacy, we don't have to look any further than our Creator, the one who wants to know you and loves you enough to give His life for you. This month, Hank Hanegraaff wants to help you grow into a deeper love with the one who made you by sending you his newest book called Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. It's his way of saying thank you for your gift and support of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a gift that helps reach others who are desperate to know true intimacy with God. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God when you call 888-7000-CRI with your gift. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Whether you're talking about the game of golf or the art of Christian living, you have to focus on the basics to be successful. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wants to put his newest book, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, in your hands this month. He wants to help you know our Creator's deep love for you. This special resource is our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please call to request your copy today. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Jeff, Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, Hank. I love your show.
Thank you.
Such a blessing to have you so readily available when you get problems and things that get working on your mind. So I thank you for all that you do. Hank, my question and concern is this. My sister-in-law grew up in the church, accepted Christ at a very young age, was married the whole bit, decided that she wanted to live a homosexual lifestyle, and is now calls herself married to a woman. I believe that she is still saved. The rest of my family does not, and it's really causing a huge issue. Could I have your thoughts on that, please?
Yeah. Well, you know, the real issue here is, does she want the kingdom of God and the wisdom of God as a follower of God in Jesus Christ, or does she want the wisdom and counsel of the world? If she wants to be a follower of Jesus Christ and a participant in his kingdom, then she's a believer. If she does not, then she's not a believer. If she now asks herself this question, do I want to follow Jesus Christ? Do I really believe that the wisdom of God is there? Do I want the principles of the kingdom to be the principles that I adhere to? If that's what she wants, she may have a misapprehension of what those principles are, but if that's what she really wants, then she is a follower of Jesus Christ, and for that reason, she will not only have a relationship of increasing intimacy in this life, but also in the world to come. And in the process of seeking out the principles of the kingdom as a follower of Jesus Christ, she's going to understand what Christ really says, what the Word of God really says, and ultimately she's going to say, you know what? I don't want to do it my way. Whatever seems right to me may well be foolishness. I want to do it his way because he's the one who knit me together in my mother's womb. He's also the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. He's the wisest man who ever lived, Theanthropus, the God-man, and therefore I'm a follower of his precepts and principles for faith and practice.
I see. Now, if she didn't go home every night to a woman, you would think that she was absolutely a woman of God. Everything else about her says that that's right. And you try to talk to her about things that are of an abomination and this and that and the other. And she likes to hold on to this thing that, well, God was talking about rampant sexual activity and outside of a committed relationship, which sounds a whole lot like fad and not fundamental to me. Your thought is, if she keeps following God, your thought is that if she's truly a Christian, it will come out eventually before she dies?
Well,
like she'll turn away from this?
Well, we're all going to die in our sin. We're all going to die with our own perversions. I mean, that's just the reality. Our hearts are desperately wicked. We have little comprehension of just how wicked we are because we have little comprehension of how holy God is. So here I am talking to you right now, recognizing in just a small part the full wickedness of my own heart and thanking God that I'm covered by his righteousness. But it's not as though people live in the midst of their perversions and they can say, well, you know what? There was a time in my life where I checked a box or made a decision and therefore I could do whatever I want. No, those who genuinely love Jesus Christ want to do it his way. Now, it's certainly possible in that process that we have misapprehensions of what his way is. But our desire is to do it his way, to follow him, to be his disciple, and not to superimpose our own wills over his will. You know, for example, something very clear in like fashion in the scripture is the admonitions against adultery. I can't say, you know what, I'm a married man, but the fact of the matter is this, I enjoy adultery, and as long as I can get away with it, I'm going to get away with it. Well, if I clearly go against a very clear and distinct principle in the scripture, and I do it on an ongoing basis, not as though I fell and repented, but that's my lifestyle, then I'm in essence saying whatever is clear in scripture really doesn't matter to me because I'm not a participant in the kingdom. Rather, I'm one who wants to do it my own way. Now, I can't judge your sister's heart. And probably you can't either. It may very well be that she thinks that her interpretation of Scripture is the correct interpretation of Scripture, or it may very well be that it's just a useful interpretation of Scripture to her. So it's hard for us to really know for certain, but the one thing we can see, and you kind of hinted at this, is those who really love Jesus Christ, who are participants in the kingdom, who not only want to see the kingdom inaugurated, but participate in the consummation of the kingdom, they're going to do it his way as opposed to doing it their own way. And that's really what repentance is all about. It's an old English word, but it communicates a modern concept, and that is that we are called to make a U-turn on the road of life, and instead of doing it our own way, we submit our will to his will. That's what it means to really believe in Jesus Christ and follow Jesus Christ, as opposed to trying to get Jesus Christ to follow you and then say you're a Christian in some sense.
As always, Hank, beautifully stated. Is there any way I could get a copy of this conversation?
Oh, sure. Yeah, just hang on. And also, by the way, you know, an easy way to get a copy of this conversation is you can actually, I don't know if you have a smartphone, but you can get a, you can just go to equip.org and you can get the equip.org app. You go to equip.org/app. And if you have an Apple or an Android, you can get the show live, but you can also listen to archived broadcasts, and this would be archived there.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, sir.
You got it. Thank you very much for your call. We'll go right back to the phone callers. Next up is Larry. He's listening in Long Beach, California. Hi, Larry.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, my question is God's will versus his purpose for us. Is there a difference? And I'm referring to the scripture that comes to mind. I know one of God's will is that that all will come to repentance and his will that none should perish. To me, the Bible has a lot of his will in it, but his purpose for us, is that something that we have to continue to ask him for? Like, what is our purpose here, our main purpose? Like, I have a specific task that he wants me to do or to carry out. If there's a difference, what is that difference between his will and our purpose?
Well, our purpose as citizens of the kingdom is to glorify God and to worship him forever. And God's purpose in the process of all of that is to build a corporate body that he can present in the end as his bride. So we are, as the body of Christ, we are inextricably woven together with the head, and that head is Jesus Christ. So God's purpose is to glorify himself by building this corporate body.
Okay. And his will, what's the difference between his will and our purpose?
Well, God's will is to build that corporate body, but in the process, God wants us to exercise our wills. I think God puts a huge premium on the human will, because without that will, love is rendered meaningless. So God wills that all come to him who are called by the Father. But our will is a big part of that process. And as I mentioned it to an earlier caller, the scripture makes explicit that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they should turn from their evil ways and live. So his will is that we should turn from our wicked ways and live and find our fulfillment in him. But again, while faith is offered to all through the wooing of the Holy Spirit, we have to respond to that offer in faith.
Okay. So would you say purpose and will is it interchangeable?
Well, words and phrases are not, as I've said many times in the broadcast, they're not univocal, they're equivocal. So it depends on the context in which they are used. So I can use the word can in a myriad of different ways. I can use the word can in the sense that I'm able to do something, I can do something. Or I can say can as in a can of tuna. Or I can say can as in the prison. Someone got thrown in the can, man. And there's a lot of different ways in which you can use words. And so context is determinative. And certainly the whole idea of will is as I said, equivocal rather than univocal. Calvinists, for example, distinguish between God's secret will and his revealed will, or what Jonathan Edwards referred to as the distinction between the decree and the law of God. We say He may decree one thing and command another. So in that context, the word is used in different ways than other people would use it. So again, the context is really important. And as I think the operative phrase here is that words and phrases are not univocal but equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. And you also have to think about who's using those words, because there's in-house lingo sometime. So a Calvinist would use the terminology different than a non-Calvinist, and I think you sort of hinted at that in the prologue to the question. I'm going to have to leave it at that, unfortunately. I'm looking at the clock, and I'm a bit frustrated because we've got a lot of great callers online. I hope many of you will call back tomorrow. Lord willing, we'll be right back here tomorrow live for more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without you, we can't do what we do. We need many of you to join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, and I'm grateful for those that are doing that. As my token of appreciation, be pleased to send you a personalized copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. Again, for those that join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. If you already have the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, be pleased to personalize one of my other books for you as well. You can find out about that on the web, or just write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Again, we'll be right back here tomorrow taking more calls when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. In the meantime, we thank you for your prayers. We thank you for your financial support. And we pray that God will continue to use us to glorify Him, not only in this life, for all eternity.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Hank Hanegraaff stumbled upon a secret when it comes to his beloved game of golf. When things go wrong with his game, it's not because he's failing to follow some faddish formula. It's because he's compromised a basic fundamental. Getting back to basics applies not only to the game of golf, but also to the art of Christian living. And that's why Hank wants to put his newest book, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, into your hands. He wants to help you know our Creator's deep love for you in Christ. And he wants to send you a copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God as thanks for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. Go online to equip.org and request your copy. That's equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices.